Welcome to the Emotionally Healthy Leader Podcast. My name is Rich Velotis. I'm the lead pastor of New Life Fellowship here in Queens, New York City. And I'm here, as always, with Pete Scazzaro. Pete is the founder of New Life, as well as the founder of Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. And we have been on a series of podcasts looking at themes from this book, The Emotionally Healthy Leader. And we're just about completing our podcast series here. And today we're going to talk about power and wise boundaries. So Pete, this is, as I read this chapter over and over, it's a massive chapter, lots of implications. But for you, why is this chapter so important in light of the overarching themes of the emotionally healthy leader?
Yeah, this is actually the reason I wrote the book, was the challenges I was having around power and wise boundaries. And realizing we don't talk about it very much in the church, but how do I function? At that point, I was the lead pastor, senior pastor, and I had on staff close friends who we hung out with for a number of years who really were wonderful, lovely, godly people. The church had grown quite a bit, but yet I was also their boss. I was also their pastor. I was also their spiritual leader for their families. And it got really complicated for me looking at, whoa, how do we go forward here? The church is now, you know, running, you know, it's 1,000 people, who's in the right roles, and how do I be a boss in that context? It was so complicated and so confusing to me because we were a community that I recognized it was some deep issues inside of me. And that dilemma and challenge, because I realized if I didn't break through this power and wise boundaries issue, our church, either I was going to need to leave or the church was doomed because I basically couldn't leave because of my friendships. So it was out of that struggling that, if you remember the story of the skyscraper, the four inner life issues impact the outward issues of our leadership. This is the outward issue that I realized it wasn't just some techniques of what to do. It related to me and my own iceberg, my own work. And so it took me deeper into the areas of EHS that I never dreamed of in 2007. But out of that came such a clarity, such a liberation. And that's why that chapter was so important. I mean, I probably spent more time on that chapter than any other chapter. Probably rewrote that one, you know, 100 times, yeah. To be very clear, because it's very complicated.
So what are just two or three things that changed? You said 2007, that was a significant time for you. What changed in your leadership, your day-to-day leadership?
So I think initially, well, I didn't just start in 2007. I was wrestling with this for years prior, issues of being an authority, having power, what was the nature of that power, how do I exercise it? So I was wrestling with it. In 2007, I recognized, okay, I've got to get a grip on what is my role. And in my case, some people, you know, are power crazy, but I think most pastors, not just myself, we don't use our power. We underestimate it. And I think that was me. I always felt like I was powerless, which came out of my genogram and family of origin. And I realized I wasn't exercising power. I recognized I had delegated power from the board as an employee, a role that I was to function in, and that I had to get a hold of dual relationships. Where was I in dual relationships? What was my primary role with people? And what was God asking me to do in light of that? And I did come to a place in 2007 saying, if I can't get a hold of this, for the sake of the church, I need to resign. Because our church needs someone to lead her into the future and do the right thing on behalf of the whole body. Yeah. And so I think it was my lack of integrity, Rich, that I realized I had an integrity breach inside of me and my leadership in not leading.
Mm. Does that mean like telling the truth, being honest with people?
And with myself. I think the fact of like anybody's in charge of an area, I was in charge of the staff. I was in charge of spending money, hire the staff under the elder board in order to accomplish our mission and to spend that money wisely and be a good steward of it. And I realized that I wasn't doing that because of feelings. I was so concerned about I wanted to be popular, I wanted to be liked, that I wanted to be seen as a mean guy, I want to pastor people. But it got all fuzzy to me. But once I got clear on it, it just changed everything. So I said, okay. But it was, I had to do a round of counseling. I had to do some spiritual direction. I had to do mentoring. I did a lot of inner work. Because I hadn't seen it modeled well. I'd either seen a corporate church environment where it just we're cutting you off and you're out of here, or churches that you never got let go. You could be doing a horrific job, and as a volunteer or a paid person, But, you know, God forbid anybody talk to you about it. And so the church basically is stuck at, you know, 35 people or 75 people or 100 people. But it can't go forward because no one has the courage to talk about the elephant in the room. People know it. So I was like, no, well, I don't want to do corporate. I don't want to do the denial of reality, which I was probably more in the denial of reality, of how, what's a biblical way to do this, which is kind, pastoral, and Christian, and going forward. And that's really how this chapter kind of emerged.
Now, one of the aspects of the chapter as it pertains to wise boundaries is this thing called dual relationships. And there, you know, in many of the books that I've read and conferences I've attended, there is not much, if anything, said about dual relationships. So what is dual relationships and how does it impact the church if we're not wise about it?
Well, you see, coming from Italian American culture, you should not be the lead pastor of this church. This should be my daughter who's the lead pastor, okay? Because it's family and we keep it in the family. So it's those kind of dynamics. Not that it would have been wrong, right, if God had had one of my daughters, right, to be that person. But I think the dual relationships is when I have more than one relationship with a person. So the key, if I go to a doctor, he's my doctor, I pay him money, I'm his patient. I go to a lawyer, I pay him or her money, you know, they do legal work for me. I go to a therapist, I pay them for an hour. I'm not going out for dinner with these people. I'm not hanging out with these people. I'm not in community with these people. They're just, they function for me in one role. Mm-hmm. And they have a professional ethical code, which they sign. That's why if any of them have an affair with a client, they are disbarred. They are removed because it's a wrong exercise of power because they have power in the relationship. Mm-hmm. And so now we don't have a code of ethics in the person becomes a pastor, which is, so it's a, the dual relationships in churches are way more complicated, mm-hmm. because I'm your brother in Christ, I am your pastor, I may become your employer if you work for the church, mm-hmm. And I'm leading you spiritually. So I'm preaching and teaching. So how you do your money, how you do your holidays, how you do your sex life. I mean, I'm in your life on how you're functioning. So that's a lot of. So we sit and hang out together, and over a cup of coffee. In some ways, it's not equal. I can fire you; you can't fire me. Mm. We're friendly, but is it a friendship? So I wrestle with what's a friend. How can we have an equal friend? How do we have a friendship where there's equality and reciprocity? But at least it was becoming aware and recognizing dual relationships, and that was gigantic for me.
You mentioned about from time to time, and I think in the book as well, about Andrew Favilla. Andrew was a head elder. But there was the relationship. Just talk about that relationship.
So Andrew and I were friendly, you know, even when I was a pastor. Then he became the head of the board of elders. So he became my boss. He was the person that was, on behalf of the elders, in particular, my supervisor. So I was handing a report in every month. He had the authority with that board to fire me. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a different relationship. So we talked about the fact of we're not like going on vacation. We're friendly. But it's not the same relationship. And he would say hard things to me. In fact, I think he sometimes would say hard things on behalf of the elders to me because we had enough relationship. But I was always aware that I reported to him. And so now he's not the chairperson of the Board of Elders. He's off the elder board. And we joked around about our relationship now. And I'm on staff. I'm not the lead pastor. I report to you. I don't report to him. I don't report to the elder board. So it's interesting how... you know, we joke around about how it used to be, you know, and our relationship is different now.
If someone is in this dual relationship situation right now, what's one or two bits of advice for them as they navigate wise boundaries using power and dual relationships?
Okay, so it's complicated. This is not a simple issue. So I recommend a couple of things. One is that you'll see a nice inventory of power in the chapter. It's really worth pondering that. And I even put a couple of examples in there just to kind of give you a feel for it. Everyone has a level of power. Even members of the church have a member of power. Small group leaders have power. Musicians in the worship team have power. So take an inventory. What has God given you? And what does it mean to steward that now well? You want to monitor what dual relationships you're in. Now, in the Bible, we do have lots of dual relationships that work well. Moses and Miriam and... You know, we see family, James and John. And so I'm not against dual relationships. It just, they have to be talked about. They got to be really clear. And because when it works well, it's brilliant. And I'm not against having friends, I think, but it just has to be talked about. When it goes badly, it's bad. Mm. You destroy a whole church.
Yeah.
And I didn't put examples in there. I could have, of a lot of ministries and churches that have blown to pieces after decades of fruitfulness because of an inability to juggle these dual relationships. This is not a, for me, this is not a family business. This is a church of the living God. It doesn't belong to me. I may have been the founder. My role as a lead pastor was to ensure its longevity beyond me, right? Because I'm stewarding something of people, money, time, energy that belongs to God. But I had to do, I had to get a handle on that, that my, and make sure I'm using my power of the founder for that transition, which I don't think if I had not had clarity on that, I don't know, we'll get to the next, in the next podcast on endings and new beginnings, I don't think I could have done it right if I hadn't done this chapter first.
Yeah.
And even now, being able to settle into a different role in our staff team, we just came from a staff meeting, which I loved our staff meeting, and you led it, and then Red, your executive team brought leadership to that meeting. But it was so much fun for me to be in that meeting. I was so grateful to God to be in the meeting as a participant, as a staff member. And I was like, because I think I'm settled into it because I don't know. I guess I understand roles and yet I love you guys, you know, and I'm friendly with you guys and we enjoy each other. But I recognize at this phase, you guys are the ones leading the church. You're the point leader here, and I am, in a sense, championing you, and I'm serving you in that role. But I understand there's been a big power shift, and I'm great with it. I'm great with it.
So last question. We've talked about the continuum, and you touched on it earlier on this podcast, that there's some that overuse power, and then there's some that they don't use their power. What would you say to that person that's watching right now that they're having a hard time asserting, even understanding their power? What would you say to that person?
Well, I think, you know, I empathize. I would say that most of you listening are probably struggle with exercising your power. I think if you're a narcissist who overuses power, you're probably not watching this podcast. But for the rest of you, which is us, I think I've talked to you, Rich, often, like, you know, here, Rich got me. I could be his father, basically, and now he's in charge. The challenge is to differentiate, right? To follow what has God put in your heart to do. And you've got to do the hard work of differentiation of who's God uniquely made you to be, how has he called you to lead now uniquely. And again, whatever role you're in, you're the lead pastor. It's not everyone here listening is a lead pastor, but how do you function in that role if you're under authority in the organization? What does that look like within that parameters? But the church needs you to lead. And if you're on staff at a church, you're being paid to lead. If you have a volunteer, non-paid position, that's a great gift, and you want to bring leadership, whether it's, again, regardless of what area it is. But it's hard. Let's make no mistake about it. It gets into your inner life. So I believe we need leaders to lead. And I would say it's okay to make mistakes, give it a shot. But you want to always build around it. You're under authority somewhere as well. You're not just a loose cannon.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Pete. Well, for more information on this chapter in Power and Wise Boundaries, you can pick it up with this book, Emotionally Healthy Leader, and you can go to our website, emotionallyhealthy.org. And I want to make you also aware of two things that we have coming up. We have our Emotionally Healthy Leadership Conference coming up this April, so you can go on our website as well, emotionallyhealthy.org. And one of the things that we're hoping to do in the year to come is to get more churches involved in understanding and implementing the EHS course. The EHS course is an 8-week program that explores similar issues like power and wise boundaries along those lines, Genogram, what Pete talked about. But it's really, for us at New Life, it's our core spiritual formation course that we go through. And we're hoping that churches would investigate the EHS course and learn ways to implement it in their pathway as they seek to make disciples of Christ. So you can go on our website, emotionallyhealthy.org, for all of that information. Well, Pete, thanks. We'll do it again. Take care.